You don't know what you've got till it's gone, do you? But you know, I don't think it's a coincidence, you know, that we've had such an emphasis today on the global church and churches in other parts of the world, because my mind jumps straight to them and to other churches where they don't have electricity, they don't have fancy instruments or overhead projectors, and yet there they meet together and they worship the Lord. And so that's not going to stop us today from hearing from God, from coming to Him, and just glorifying Him for all that He's done. And it's wonderful. I don't believe it has stopped us. So I'm to preach today on obedience. Obedience. And for this, I'll just dive straight into the Bible. I'm going to jump in with a parable. And it is in Matthew. And it's a parable that Jesus tells in Matthew. Now, just to set the scene for you a little bit, when he gives this parable, it's in Matthew 21. If you've got your Bibles with you, if you're looking up, it's going to be Matthew 21, and I'm going to be reading from about verse 28, having to look a bit closer. But yes, just to set the scene for you a bit, Jesus has not long arrived in Jerusalem at this point. And he's just had the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And now things are really heating up. In fact, just before he entered Jerusalem, he pulls his disciples aside. He tells them a third time, tells them what's going to happen. Tells them of his up and coming crucifixion and death. And now he's arrived in Jerusalem, straight on the doorstep of those who have opposed him most, I don't know the word, vehemently or whatever, you pick a word. They've opposed him with all their might, and now he's rocked up on their doorstep, and now the attacks and the challenges are coming thick and fast. So first, couple of chapters, you've got the chief priests and the elders have just kind of challenged him, and that's who he's speaking to in this parable we're about to read. And then the Pharisees come, and then the Sadducees come, and then the Pharisees come back, and then the Pharisees come back again. They're all not happy. He's really rattling the cage. So that's just kind of painting the picture a little for you. High emotions, high octane, and this is what he's speaking into when he tells this parable. And we'll come back to some of the relevance of that later on. So I'm just going to read it. And I'm reading it nice and loud and clear, so we can all hear me. So he turns to these chief priests and these elders and he says to them, "What do you think? A man had two sons. And he went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' And the son answered, 'I will not.' But afterward, he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, 'I'll go.' But he didn't. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Probably a bit cautiously saying, uh-oh. Don't like us when they ask us questions. They said, "The first." And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterwards change your minds and believe him." I want to give us a picture today of walking a path of obedience. Picture a path in your head. It was a couple of weeks ago now, and I don't know if you remember, but there was some very, very strong winds on Sky, 80 miles per hour, where I was, up in Staffin, and I had a friend visiting at the time who'd come to see the beauty of Sky.
And we're sitting there looking out and things flying through the air and thinking, oh James, I don't know what I'm going to show him. But we stopped and we thought, you know what? We're going to go to Neist Point. We're going to go to where it's windiest, just to see what it's like. So we jump in the car and we drive over to Neist Point. You know, we park the car and it's one of those where you open the door and it's instantly like, you're trying to, oh no, come back! Try to close the door and we get out and it's just this incredible wind. They're like, let's go! And so we start walking off towards Neist Point, off towards the lighthouse. And you know, I have never in my life been so thankful for a handrail. Oh my goodness, I wasn't just kind of gently, just, oh, it's a nice time I have. I was holding on for dear life. And you know, when emotions get high, it can be a bit like a storm. Our heart can be pulled this way and that way, and it's hard to know what to do. And it gets harder to be walking in the will of God. And He's given us a handrail for us to hold that helps us to walk that path of obedience. He's given us a couple of handrails. He's given us His scripture, yes, His word, which helps us to walk in the will of God, to read the will of God. But even that, I mean, the scribes and the Pharisees and the elders, they try and use that and go off a completely wrong direction. There's something else that He gives us. And I'd like to jump to another passage and another point in the story a bit further ahead where emotions are high and these people who are opposing God are accusing and getting enraged. And we're going to discover something here and we're going to see what that handrail is that God gives us. So I'm going to jump forward to Acts 5 and we're going to read about a chap called Gamaliel. Remember him? Interesting character. So at this point, the apostles, Peter and John, and it says that the other apostles too, they've been doing God's work, they've been performing signs and wonders, and they've been preaching Christ's resurrection. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and people who opposed Jesus are not happy about that. They thought, we thought we got rid of this guy. And now he's sprouting up everywhere and these guys are saying, it's on us. So I'm going to read from Acts 5 and I'll read from verse 27. And when they brought them in, that's the apostles, they set them before the council. And the high priest questioned them saying, we strictly charge you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. And you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. They couldn't even say his name. This man's blood. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. Hey, that's a good reminder, isn't it? When it comes to obedience, we must obey God more than we obey men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed, by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and saviour, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. I'm going to come back to that verse. When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But the Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, they weren't all bad. Here's Gamaliel. A teacher of the law, held in honour by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, men of Israel, take care of what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed. And all who followed him were dispersed, and it came to nothing. after him, Jesus, the Galilean, rose up in the days of the census, drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. It's a wonderful testimony, isn't it? Just reading that about Christianity in Jesus, when the leader supposedly died. If he had died and not resurrected, you imagine the same thing would have happened. But Jesus rose, and you have this explosion of people, and it just spreads across the world like wildfire. Isn't that an incredible testimony to the truth of the gospel? Just struck me as I was reading it. And so this chap that the guy mentions, he perishes and all who follow him were scattered. And Gamaliel says, "So in the present case I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this understanding is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice, rather reluctantly, but they took it. They could see the wisdom, they couldn't argue with the wisdom, so they took his advice. What did Gamaliel have that none of them did? Well, you could say wisdom, but he needed something for that wisdom to have any chance of breaking through, and it was peace. They'd all lost their peace. The big emotions that they felt when this man was saying this thing and these apostles were saying this thing completely blinded them. They completely lost their peace. That's the handrail that God gives us in the storms. Something to return to. Something to ask ourselves, have I lost the peace of God in my life? To slow down and to listen. I'd like to come back to this verse. When Peter says to them, "And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." It becomes very difficult, if not impossible, when we put our faith in Christ and receive the Holy Spirit, it becomes very difficult to walk in disobedience to him and feel peace about it. And there'll be areas in our life where we don't feel peace. And so it's important to pay attention to those areas and to first look within. It could be something from without that makes us lose our peace. Sin in the world. A heartbreaking situation. Could be someone else. But we should always start within. Search our own hearts. And discover by spending that time with God, am I walking in God's will? Is my heart right with God in this moment? Yeah. I'm going to come back to our parable for a moment that I started with. And we're going to spot the different kinds of disobedience just quickly. So, what strikes us about that parable, probably what seems most obvious, is the importance of intention translating into action. Okay? Because the second son said, "Oh yeah, I'll go." No. The spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. He didn't actually do it. And there's that kind of passive disobedience. And we all do it. I do it. You know, it's when we hear from God and God maybe lays something on our heart and we agree with it. But is it outworked in our lives? God maybe says to us, "Be baptized." And you think in that moment, "Yes, that's right. I'm going to be baptized. Did we do it? God maybe puts it on our heart to give a gift to that person. We think, yes, that's right. Did we do it? God maybe puts in our heart, yeah, I'm gonna create that space in my day for God. Did we do it? One thing that can really help us with this is to know that we're not alone. Is to rely on the strength of others. To bring a brother or sister in Christ and say, hey, God's spoken this to me. I want to share it with you and I want you to hold me accountable to this thing. And it can be so helpful. So helpful. Because we're human. We'll do that. We'll do that. But that really helps. So there's that kind of passive disobedience. And the importance of intention translating into action. With the Pharisees and the Sadducees, or those of which whom so angrily opposed Jesus, we find a different kind of disobedience, don't we? We find a defiant disobedience. But the thing that we should be kind of warned from about that is that their confidence just strikes me. I think, whoa, I hope I'm not so confidently getting it wrong. They absolutely believed, or at least they'd convinced themselves, that they were even acting in the will of God. That what they were doing in killing this man was even obeying the will of God. And it's not just excluded to those who are opposing Jesus. I think there's plenty of examples of people who followed Jesus and knew Jesus who got it really wrong. And even especially in moments of passion. You know, I think of when the centurions come to arrest Jesus. What does Peter do? Whips out his sword, he walks in Nero. Passionately defending his Saviour. But that wasn't God's will, was it? And so it's a little, whoa, okay, if I'm feeling those big heights of emotion, let me just find that handrail of peace again. And take a moment to hear from God. To lay down all my thoughts and all my emotions, just to lay them down for a moment. At his feet. Say, God, this is what I'm feeling. But I'm laying it down before you. Would you speak into my heart, into my life? And if you don't hear, then yet again, you're not alone. Gather others around you. Share with them this thing you're struggling with. And know the strength of the body. And so God's given us that helper. He's given us his Holy Spirit. And that's why we can't feel peace when we're not walking the will of God. Because we've got his Holy Spirit in us. And the Holy Spirit is God. He knows the thoughts of God. And so when we start walking, this gets restless in us. Because this isn't right. And that's the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And so we pay attention to that voice. That's the voice of God. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing when we come into alignment with the will of God to be walking in obedience in his will for our lives. It's amazing because even despite maybe what our logic might tell us would be a more sensible path, when we're walking in the will of God, there's no peace quite like it. It's that peace in the storm. It's that peace. And Daniel and the others walk into that fiery pit at peace. Because they're in the will of God. And we can know that peace the greater and greater and greater extent in our lives. And it's a wonderful thing. And so seek after it. Pray with others. If you want to pray with someone today, do it today. Gather others around you and find that peace in your heart and your mind that only God can give.